Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Friday, March the 6th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, dozens of people are arrested as police in Kent crack down on fraud.
My friend, you're under arrest, okay, at this time. You're under arrest.
As a school pauses plans to merge with another, we get reaction from a campaigner.
The campaign has really just shown how much the school means to the community.
And Gillingham are back in action at Priestfield this weekend.
We want to get back to winning ways at home. That's another thing.
But first, this is our most read story on the website today. A Snodland man has spoken of the moment he suffered a broken arm during a road rage attack in Maidstone. Phil Webster had been approaching a roundabout on the A24 when he says he was cut up by another vehicle. His young granddaughter and dog were in the vehicle with him at the time. But the 57-year-old's been telling me exactly what happened.
I was taking my granddaughter back to her father's house. It was about 5 to 5 when I approached the... I was coming off the M20 and approached the Knockcuts roundabout to do a left to go where I was going. But there's roadworks there and it's always a busy roundabout anyway. So we've been queuing for quite a while, 10 minutes maybe, to filter off into the left. And when actually committed to go into the left lane, we were two vehicles aside each other. A van came in over the chevrons and sort of almost touched my van. And I sort of went to him with my arms, like, what are you doing and where are you going? And he wound his window down. I thought he wanted to say something, so I wound my window down. And then the next thing I'd known, he'd spat at me, you know, because he's driving on the left and I'm on the right. We were very close to each other, and he sort of leant out and spat in my face. And then before I knew it, he's almost climbing out of his van window and started to try and punch me. He was actually connecting; he got a couple of connections. By which time, I'm totally freaked out. I just couldn't believe what was happening. So I was just going back through it all. It's quite emotional. I had my 8-year-old granddaughter with me and my dog, elderly dog with me, who has separation anxiety, has to come everywhere with me. So I know they're in the van and I'm worried about them, but it's all happening so quickly. I think from there, I was trying to get my window up. And I think he tried getting out of his van, and he certainly banged his door against the side of my van forcibly. And then I realised he was going to try and get in my van, so I was trying to lock the door, but the window was half open. And I think he was still trying to punch me through the window, but he did actually pull the window down with both hands, which frightened me because I thought I'd be protected with the window up. And I'd locked the door by then. I was locking the door frantically. And then I think I was trying to push him away with my right arm, just to push him away from the window that was half open, or he was pulling down. And that's when he got my arm and just snapped it with both his hands, snapped it over the window that was half open. And that's when it was, quite traumatic, because I saw my hand dangling down at the wrong angle. Somehow on adrenaline, I managed to, but the traffic had cleared because I couldn't go anywhere because I was blocked into the left and in front of me, so I couldn't go anywhere, otherwise I would have driven away. But anyway, after he'd done that, I somehow managed to pull away, and I blocked the road because I didn't want him to get away, really. I then realised that was causing a bit of a problem blocking the road, and I pulled into where the cones were, out the way, and I'd realised he'd actually followed me as well then. So I was in a lot of agony. He did approach the van and apologised to my granddaughter and asked me if I wanted anything or something, but I just said, no, I'm fine. And before I'd pulled away to park in the cones, I'd asked my granddaughter to call the police straight away. I said, just call 999, which she did, bless her. And then for 20 minutes, I sat waiting for the police. I was on the phone to the police, but and it's about 5 or 10 minutes later for the ambulance.
So you've got to have surgery on your arm to...
Yes, I've got to have both bones. It's a high impact break or something, and both bones are broken. And they've got to put 2 plates in, one on each bone. And then that's going to be either hopefully the end of this week or maybe next week. So, yeah, at the moment, it's just in cast.
Yeah, and presumably, Phil, as well, this has hugely impacted your day-to-day life. I'm guessing you're due to work. I mean, you can't go to work.
I'm right. Everything. Just getting dressed. I'm right-handed, so just learning to use my left hand is a new thing. But, yeah, I run my own business. I can't work now. I can't drive.
We're ever so grateful to Phil for speaking to us. And as you heard there, he's still waiting to have surgery on his broken arm. Well, we've been in touch with Kent Police and they say a 30-year-old man was arrested at the scene and taken into custody. However, following inquiries, a decision was made that the case hadn't met what they call the evidential threshold for a charge. The man was then released with no further action. However, detectives say they will thoroughly review any further information that comes to light, and they want any more witnesses to come forward.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a woman who was caught smuggling military-grade weapons into the UK through Dover has been jailed. Kasia Sanderson was stopped at the Eastern Docks in February last year, and officers found guns, ammunition and Class A drugs hidden in her car. She told them she'd been scattering ashes in France. The 40-year-old from Neshcombe Hill in Wick near Bristol has been locked up for 9 years. One of the men involved in the Securitas robbery in Tunbridge is up for parole today. Lee Rusher was sentenced to a minimum of 15 years in prison after an armed gang stole £53 million from a depot in 2006. A hearing's being held later to consider his release. A dealer who tried to hide drugs in his sock while being arrested in Tunbridge Wells has been sent to prison. Christian Botef was stopped by officers in the Broadmead area last September. He was found to be in possession of cocaine and cannabis. The 31-year-old from Tudor Court has been locked up for 2.5 years. A Gravesend woman has appeared in court after attacking a nurse who was helping treat her after she stepped on broken glass. Rebecca Love cut her foot while drunk and had to go to hospital last July. The 35-year-old from Whitehill Lane has been ordered to pay more than £600 in compensation, fines and court costs. And two brothers who ran a large-scale drug den from their home on Sheppey have been locked up. Bryn and Connor Graham produced and supplied ecstasy and ketamine from the property on Church Road in East Church. The 27 and 23-year-olds have been sentenced to a total of 16 years. Now, more than 40 people have been arrested as part of a crackdown on fraud by Kent Police. Officers have been targeting suspected criminals who defraud others through things like romance scams, unnecessary building repairs and postal scams. Well, footage has been released of the moment one of the suspects was arrested.
Hello, mate. How's it going? Chuck your hands out. My friend, you're under arrest, okay, at this time. You're under arrest. Okay.
Hold on. Can you speak to me for a second?
Of attempted fraud, okay? The reason being, jump out for me. Jump out.
No.
We're not
in my pocket.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll do. The reason for it, mate, okay, is yesterday, this vehicle and the occupant, which I believe to be you, listen, which I believe to be you, was involved in an incident where work was offered at a price well over the odds, all right?
Three people are facing charges and will appear in court next month. As part of the operation, £50,000 was prevented from being paid out by victims.
Kent Online reports.
We've got some development news next, and Kent Online's been told a controversial 2,500 home estate in Faversham is set to be approved. Prince William's Duchy of Cornwall is behind the plans for land to the south of the town near Brenly Corner. It would transform 340 acres of farmland and will be discussed by councillors next week. Meantime, dozens of people have turned up to a meeting to protest against plans to build nearly 2,000 homes in Canterbury. Campaigners say the Merton Park development will turn an historic orchard into an apocalyptic wasteland. It was discussed last night as part of a blueprint for more than 23,000 new properties across the wider district. A Kent MP has joined a campaign meantime opposing plans for 1,300 new homes in Aylesford. Maidstone and Morling's Helen Grant has written to Tunbridge and Morling Borough councillors, urging them to reject the application for the land near Hermitage Lane. The proposals cover 80 hectares and include a new school and community centre. A decision is due next week. Plans have been submitted to build 450 homes on a former military base in Medway. Homes England want permission for the development on the former Chattenham Barracks on the Hoo Peninsula. The scheme also includes a play area and convenience store. It's being considered by the town's planning officers. Now, campaigners have welcomed news. A merger of two private schools in Kent has been put on hold. St Lawrence College in Ramsgate announced last week it was going to close its site and join forces with Dover College. But parents criticised a lack of consultation, and bosses now say they'll reconsider options open to them. I've been chatting to Laura Holden, who has a child at St Lawrence College.
What we've seen today is a pause in the merger discussions, and we don't yet have all the details, but we do welcome the opportunity that it creates to have a look at, you know, a positive and sustainable way forward for the college and the community.
Last week's announcement obviously came as a huge shock to you, didn't it? Were you expecting the huge amount of support that you got from lots of other parents at the school as well?
I mean, you know, from the start, what we've been trying to do is bring together the community, and that includes parents and our wider communities, all of the stakeholders and people who have an interest in the site and the school, whether that's historically or people who've been to the school in previous years, or we've had a lot of counsellors and social clubs and all sorts reach out. We were expecting that people would support us in sort of standing against a closure or finding a way forward against a closure. But yeah, I mean, it has been amazing. And to be honest, the campaign has really just shown how much the school means to the community, whether that's parents, alumni, local residents. We've all made our voices heard, and I think that strength of feeling has just been impossible to ignore.
How involved, Laura, do you want to be moving forward? Because they obviously have said financial difficulties had led them to this point. They're now going to explore all options as to how they can stay independent and open. I'm guessing you guys want to be one of those options. You want to be consulted on what you can do to help moving forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking to that email that was sent out as well, it sort of said, oh, there were a few options they could have explored but didn't because of an ongoing agreement with Repton. So, yeah, it does seem like there are, or perhaps even as a result of the campaign, people have come forward and been like, you know, actually, there are a lot of other alternatives now on the table. So even if nothing else, making that noise on behalf of ourselves and the community has possibly led to new options. But yeah, we would like to be very involved. This week, the campaign has fielded calls from as far afield as America, from people who used to go to the school and say, this is the industry I work in. I work in charity law, or like, can I help? How can we? I work in charity governance. I work in school governance. I work in, you know, and these are all things that we need to rebuild. There has been trust shaken, and I think that's possibly the biggest hurdle that we have to get past at this point, because, you know, again, we're still, even though we know that the current proposal has been put on hold, there's still no current information of what route we may take forward or how that's going to be pursued. But we can only see it as positive that the pressure from the wider community and all of us has put on I suppose the governors in seeing what decisions might be taken from here.
Kent Online reports.
Reform UK is facing criticism after deciding to sell 360 pieces of art owned by Kent County Council. The Greens have accused them of showing utter contempt for local history and say bosses would sell anything to make ends meet. Now, the works have an estimated combined value of up to £80,000. KCC say they still hold nearly 1,200 pieces in their art collection. A temporary banking hub in Sheerness has found a permanent home. It currently operates out of the Hope Street Centre after TSB shut in May last year. It's been confirmed it'll be opening in the former Halifax Bank in the High Street. A former Mecca bingo building in Ashford could be turned into a community and cultural space. Council bosses have been working through ideas for the site in the lower High Street, which also used to be a cinema. Well, designs have been drawn up showing how it could be transformed into a 200 capacity venue, costing around £7.5 million. Now, there are plans to spend £4 million on another bridge over the River Medway in Maidstone. It would run alongside the existing high-level rail bridge and be specifically for cyclists. The council's allocated £250,000 in its budget to have architects work up the plans. And our reporter Alan Smith has been speaking to Maidstone Borough Council leader Stuart Jeffrey.
Behind me is the high-level bridge, one of the two main walkways from West Maidstone into the town centre. It's midday, it's moderately quiet, but school times, rush hour times, there are thousands of kids and people walking across here, and lots of cyclists as well. And it's here that I think we probably do need to have a larger or additional bridge across the river and across the A229. To make sure that people and cyclists can get across with ease on this side of Maidstone. So I'd like to see a second bridge running parallel that would take perhaps cyclists and other wheel users across the river and road. That would help reduce people's dependency on cars. It'll stop the frustrations of people crashing into cyclists as they walk along here. Behind me is one of the wider sections, a bit further along. It drops to about 4 feet wide and becomes quite crowded. So expanding this walk and cycleway across the river feels like the right thing to do. Currently, the high-level bridge is a no cycling area, but it's sadly ignored. So we do have to cater for people.
Kent Online News.
After World Book Day yesterday, it's been announced Kent authors received double nominations for this year's British Book Awards. A.F. Stedman, who grew up in Deal, is the award-winning writer of the Skandar series. She's up for Author of the Year and Book of the Year for Skandar and the Spirit War. Meantime, author and illustrator Sir Quentin Blake has announced a new partnership with Chatham's historic dockyard. Two of his best-known characters, Jack and Nancy, will be brought to life as part of an immersive trail with challenges and activities for families. It starts in May and will run throughout the spring and summer. And Bake Off star Dame Prue Leith has been announced as one of the headline speakers at this year's Step Into Spring Festival in Canterbury. The annual fundraising event is a schedule of guided walks and author talks to help uncover local stories. It's on from the 19th until the 22nd of March.
Kent Online Sports.
A snowboarder from Kent is getting ready to compete at the Winter Paralympics. The opening ceremony for the Games takes place in Italy today. 36-year-old James Barnes-Miller, who's from Broadstairs, will compete in the snowboard cross and banked slalom for athletes with an upper limb impairment. On to football now, and it's a home game for Gillingham this weekend following last week's victory away at Barrow. The Gills scored in the dying seconds to secure a 1-0 victory after three losses in a row. Now, tomorrow, they welcome Fleetwood Town to Priestfield. Our sports reporter Luke Cordell has been catching up with striker Seb Palmer-Holden and started by asking what it's like to play alongside Ronan Hale.
He's brilliant to play with. Like, he's a proper runner. He's technically very good. You know, he's got a moment of magic in him. I think there was a cross that went in and we all thought the ball was going out of play, even myself. Caught my heels a bit. And he's turned and then got a shot off and he's hit the post. It's just been unfortunate. But no, he's a really good player. He's a really good player and he's good to learn off. Obviously, I'm still quite young, so I've got trying to take in as much knowledge as possible, and I've got great players around me, like the likes of Sam Vokes, Gareth McCleary, Ronan Hale, even Josh. You know, it's brilliant. It's brilliant to learn from.
Did Ronan stand out for you last season? Obviously, you played against him twice, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I think he scored against us every single time he played us last year, but you always know. He's just like, he's just a magical player. He can make things happen out of nothing. He shoots from everywhere, which is... But he's also good to link with. I always know where he's going to be. But it's just, yeah, it's really good.
What did you think when he was going to come here? You were happy that he was coming rather than fearful that you know?
No, always happy because I know he's going to make the team better. He's a big improvement. And it's always good to have good quality players coming in the building. It creates competition for spot, but you know, that happens in all football. You have to be competitive, and I think it brings the best out of each player.
Is there a lot of Scottish football chat now? Is there?
there's a few things going around that are said, but yeah, it's good. It's good.
Have you found League Two compared to the SPL?
Obviously, I played in League Two before I played in the SPL. I think League Two is a lot more physical. Yeah. Going back to it, it's a lot more long ball, as I'm realising. Obviously, you've got teams like Celtic and Rangers who want to play football up there. But it's competitive. It's a really competitive league, which I love to be in. Anyone can beat anyone in this league, as I said before. If you look at the table, there's not much in it at all. So everything's to play for.
The Jewels are currently 16th in the table. Fleetwood are just above them in 13th. Manager Gareth Ainsworth has been speaking to the club's media team.
I watched them on Tuesday, so I know that was a good result for them. You know, they took a bit of pressure from Walsall, but saw out the game for a 1-0 win. And they've been on some good form lately, you know, and something we've got to be aware of. We want to get back to winning ways at home. That's another thing. But it's nothing other than a tough test in League Two again, and we've got to be at it because these games are coming thick and fast after this one, and we're going to be using everyone to make sure that we share the load. But we're quality when we do it. We play with quality. We play with belief, and we play with an attitude that we want to win the game, especially at home. You know, that's big for me.
Talking of 1-0 wins, we had one of those ourselves last week. 103rd minute goal, I think it was, from Robin McKenzie. Have you noticed a spring in the step of a few more in training this week?
Yeah, it's nice. A win's always nice, you know, and I'm glad that the 237 fans that were there were witnessing it and happy to go home. You know, a long journey home, it really was, but fantastic support, and brilliant to see Robbie pop that one home. You know, it's about time we had a little bit of luck on a set piece that just lands at one of my players' feet, and we've had it against us quite a bit, but that's really, really pleasing. And the pleasing fact was that, you know, we limited Barrow to zero shots on target, and I think there's almost zero shots at our goal. You know, they were from range, and they were just defended really well, attacked well, a threat all game, and finally broke them down. But it's going to be a different story on Saturday, without a doubt. You know, it's a different team. We know what we want to play like, we know how we want to be, and you know, I've watched them, like I say, I wanted to go to the Kent Senior Cup and watch some of the young boys, but I thought that watching the Walsall Fleetwood game would be more productive for me, as we've got them this Saturday, but got glowing reports for some of the young boys as well, which is great. And you know, I had a couple of people there, Dave and Pete, reported back to me on the players. So yeah, we had eyes everywhere Tuesday, but mine were firmly on Fleetwood and what they're doing, and yeah, they've done well, so we need to be at our best.
On to rugby now, and Kent Spurnell is in the England side for their Six Nations game against Italy this weekend. Alex Mitchell is missing from the lineup though, after suffering an injury earlier in the tournament. England are sitting fourth in the table with just one win from three games. Kickoff in Rome tomorrow is at 4:40. And free swimming and fitness sessions will be on offer in Swale this weekend. Swallows Leisure Centre in Sittingbourne and Sheppey Leisure Complex in Sheerness are offering 2 days of taster classes. It's a way of seeing what the centres have to offer and encourages people to focus on their health and well-being. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the website today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.